in the sea organization, you can either move up rankings and down rankings, or you can get you get promoted, right, and really lauded as being great and fantastic. And then if you, for whatever reason, somebody might be doing a power push and decide that you're a problem, or you might run into problems, you know, and you don't get like intervention and help and stuff. You don't really get it, right? You've got to stand on your own pretty much. And so you might fail at something and then you're down at the bottom again, you know, it's like snakes and ladders, you know. So at some point I was like commanding officer with fucking stripes and everybody going, yes, sir, to me. And, you know, and I'm Mr. International with my, like over in Los Angeles, my, you know, these are all dressed Navy whites, you know, and the U.S. Navy white uniform, you know, with fucking all the campaign ribbons. I've got my Africa ribbon, I've got this ribbon, it's all great looking and stripes. Fine looking young executive, you know. And then I get busted and it's all back down to fucking, you know, jeans and shorts covered in dirt, you know what I mean? Everybody goes, oh, it's a scumbag, you know. And you climb back up again, you know, so it's like that, you know. That's why I'm going to say the senior, I was a senior executive at ISA. I'm actually saying it with a pinch of salt, because there's no real such thing as a senior executive. You know, there is, but, you know, you're only as good as you are at that until someone decides they don't want you to be there. But anyway, I think one of the final big international projects I did was the International Finance and Computerization Project, which I traveled the world installing networks for setting up each system in every, well, I mean there was teams of us, but I was sort of Australia, North America, and England in the main. That was the main sort of areas I was covering, which was doing full installation of these new systems. I was in London organization. I was going through all their files, and I find it's amazing what I found. George Harrison's file, I found Van Morrison's file, you know, all the scientists have been after these guys. William Burroughs, the writer, yep, who later wrote a book about his Scientology experiences as well. And other celebrities, minor and major, you know, it's quite incredible the amount of people who have been through the Scientology thing. Because, I mean, as far as I understand, Scientology was it's always been very seductive, but during the 70s in particular, they had a very, very good line, if you like, or a very good image, you know, as kind of this kind of new, you know, on the back end of the whole hippie era, I suppose, was the, you know, these kind of new frontiers, you know, that's one thing Hubbard really plugged into, these spiritual frontiers, you see, you know. And so, I guess people have been taking a lot of drugs would kind of find that very appealing, and pretty much everybody took drugs back then, so that was it. But it was funny just finding those ones. Come forward to about the year, I was promoted to senior UK continental position, which was running the mission network. The drive to get statistics up was ever, ever increasing, and it was always heavy, but at a certain point became very, very, very heavy indeed, you know, because they wanted to boom Scientology. You know, the idea of booming Scientology now was one of the rants that David Miscavige, he's the chairman of the board of Scientology, he's been there since 86. And a very, very, very interesting, aggressive man he is. But anyway, he wanted to boom Scientology now, sort of thing. So huge pressure comes on people to get sales, you know. The outcome of that, of course, is that Scientology is a very expensive thing to do. It's a very expensive hobby if you're going to be a public Scientologist. It will cost you everything. Houses, cars, mortgages, you've lost it all. The moment you walk in there, you might as well just give up and sell everything, give all the money to Scientology, really. And that's actually what happens in most, many, many, many cases. But Bournemouth, the Scientology operation in Bournemouth, had been a very specifically aggressive campaign on that. And aside from just getting people to do maybe a bit of remortgaging, they'd actually, you know, selling houses, they got people to fill in blank loan forms, and of course they were submitting those forms to the banks. If their statistics were down that week, they'd say, well, how much do we need? Well, okay, let's put in 35 grand. You know, Joe Blow, who signed the form, all of a sudden loses his house, right? That cannot be sustained for that long, realistically. It's just not going to be, even with naive Scientologists. It blew up in the 90s, later 90s particularly, and there's a huge potential case that's going to blow Scientology out of the water, really. It was going to be courts, public record, newspapers, TV, it was going to be all over the place. It was that bad. Because this woman had been really, really, really badly treated by Scientology, which, you know, that's silly saying something. Scientology treats people badly, but she'd been really badly treated. And she was just going for the jugular, you know. My job was to go out and buy her off. I had to buy her silence. It cost 600,000 sterling. I had to find 600 sterling, which I did. Yeah, which I did. I found 600 sterling over a period of 6 months, and it was a killer. It was a killer of a job. I found the money. I didn't personally give it to her. It was through our legal people did that. You know, I got the money, gave them the money, suitcase. She went quiet. Of course, Scientology aggressively attacks enemies, and one of the ways that they attack people, of course, is through the legal end of things. It costs a lot of money to pay lawyers and pay barristers and so on. So if you're taking a case against Scientology, it's very expensive. If you have to defend the case if Scientology accuses you, that's very expensive. So either way, you're going to be in for an awful lot of money. So Scientology uses that to great effect. And that's why Scientology is such a litigious organization, because it knows how to use these things, right? As an aside on that one, it's funny, every year there's a huge event at St. Hill in England. This is a big international IAS event. It's the International Association of Scientologists. And it's a very big, grand sort of Oscars-type ceremony, you know. People are awarded for this, that, and the other. Mainly awarded for the amount of money they've been giving. That's the actual main focus of that event. Well, I found that, but it's also a time to, you know, to sort of, where, you know, Scientology will kind of laud people who've been of huge importance to Scientology. And I used to drive limousines for celebrity-type people. Most of them I used to drive for were lawyers, Scientology lawyers. And they were put up in, like, not just 5-star, I don't know, 12-star hotels. These incredibly kind of discreet, wonderful places dotted around the Sussex countryside that are really exclusive. And it was the lawyers I used to... They were really not just patted on the back, they were paid a lot of money. They were really feted, they were given everything they wanted, they were incredible. But anyway, that's just an aside. The lawyer is the Scientology's hero. In dealing with this case in Bournemouth, I came across some truths about Scientology, some of the home truths. For the first time ever, I got access to the internet. That's one thing that's banned in Scientology. A lot of things are banned. A lot of media is banned. It's difficult to get all the papers. You're not allowed television. Radio, all you can. It's a bit difficult to ban radio as you're driving cars and stuff like that. But, you know, if there's going to be anything negative about Scientology coming up, they tell you do not listen to X, Y, or Z, right? If something negative in the paper is absolutely... if there's any copies of that paper on the Scientology base, they get rounded up and hidden, you know? And people get told, don't buy the Times today because there's some information there about OT3. And it will be bad for you. It'll be... If you read OT3 material before you're ready for it, you actually get pneumonia and die. That's actually what happens, right? Okay. There are various other horrible things that can happen if you are exposed to this material before you've actually done the level. It's very clever because it costs a good solid 45 grand just for that level, I think. So